Thank you, Steve.
Who brought us the news, Bill?
Well, it's funny you ask, Wendy. The news, first let me say this
WGN
in order.
WGN Chicago.
I need to say this in order. And now normally you hear this at the beginning of the news on the hour. This is what the kids call the legal ID, Wendy. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say, play WGN Radio. Steve's news that you're about to hear that you already heard is all sponsored by the RiverboatTwilight.com. Here was Steve.
I like that. Yeah. Let's do everything backwards today.
You can't
today.
Do everything backwards. People get dizzy and fall down.
Come on, backwards Friday.
But because, you know, Steve was broadcasting from the golf club there, we had to do everything in a little in reverse. But everything's fine now. The rest of the show should be fine.
I don't like to start a Friday off like this.
No, I know. I'm with you all the way. You know what I noticed? Normally, like depending on who the Cubs or sometimes White Sox are playing, when you're walking around town, you'll run into somebody that has a Philadelphia Phillies hat or a New York Mets jacket. I saw so many people wearing Toronto Blue Jays clothes or just accessories.
Outfits, come on.
I don't think they call them outfits in Canada. I think it's a different word. Accoutrement.
Outfit.
Outfit. Put on your Blue Jays outfit. We're walking around Chicago, eh? So
who's
everywhere
playing
I went,
Toronto?
The Cubs are playing the Toronto Blue Jays. It's interleague. So honestly, I must have saw 25 or 30 or 40 people all wearing, and they're so polite, Wendy. They're so polite.
That's because they're scared. They're in Chicago.
No, I think Canadians by nature are just incredibly polite people.
You
Sorry
do?
I smacked you with a snowshoe. I just had the urge to do it, so I did it. Sorry I did it, though. Oh, you're bleeding. They're just unbelievably polite people.
Well, that's nice.
It is nice. I think we could all learn from the good people of Canada. A little politeness goes a long way. Sorry I rammed into you with my truck, but I felt like it, so I did. Sorry.
But at least they apologize.
Yeah, they always apologize. They're very polite.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Were you shocked by the news of Mark Sapelsa?
Yes.
Me
he's
too
young to retire.
He's only 55 years old.
We have not saved our money, so we will never retire.
No. Just the opposite. I owe people money.
No, we'll have to work forever.
Yeah.
Both of us.
We die. But Mark Sapelsa, as has been said, is really like a consummate professional. So good at what he does.
He is pretty fantastic.
Really good. Really good. And that, boy, what a shock that was. And then Steve Cochran asked him a very good question on the air. Did you hear?
I did, about whether or not his leaving had anything to do with a new company that's going to take over the Tribune.
Because that's the first thing I wondered myself.
And he
said, no,
this was something he thought about for a while. I've thought about retiring, and I've thought about it for about 10 seconds, and then I say, I can't retire.
Well, it falls under two brackets. Number one, you already mentioned financially. I have enough money, seriously, to get me through Tuesday, and that's it.
Your wife would have to give you a bigger allowance if you retire.
She will not do that. $20 is my cap. That's my salary cap.
When's the last time you got a raise in your allowance?
I've always got 20. It's never gone up. It's never gone down.
Well, the times have changed. Inflation.
I know.
The soda tax. She needs to give you more.
I should mention that. What if I want to squirt on the way to work? I need more money. I need $20.20 now. No, I get a solid 20 a day. That's it. There's no ups. There's no downs. It's just 20. That's the one thing. That's the one constant in my universe.
So that's the first thing, financial freedom, which we won't have.
But then the other one, the more important one is, don't you think that if for people who have a job that maybe they're not thrilled with, they're indifferent towards, that maybe for those people, you look forward to that retirement day and go, I won't have to do this anymore. I can finally stop doing this. I don't have that. Do you have that?
I don't know what I'd do if I didn't do this.
I know.
I really love coming to work every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's awesome if you have a job that you love doing.
Right. There have been times, I can't speak for you, but there have been times where I've been in between this sort of job where I'm not able to talk about stuff. And then I just do it to my family and friends. And then they say this after about 3 days. You'll find another job. You know, like they get really weird about, I know that you have a lot of pent up things you want to discuss, but eventually you'll find another way to do that. So leave us alone.
Well, at least when you retire, you'll hook up with Twitter.
Right.
It'll give you something
probably.
To do.
Probably. That's probably when I will. Not until then, though. let's go find Toronto people. They're out there everywhere. Now, I keep watching the glass to see if they're walking by, and for some reason they're not. Maybe they went to Wrigley early, because, again, they're very polite. They're very punctual and polite in Canada.
I didn't know that about Canadians.
Oh, they're the most polite people on the planet. It's unbelievable how polite they are.
I'm seeing a lot of divvy bikes on the sidewalk, and you're not supposed to ride them on the sidewalk. And I saw one on the outskirts of the loop.
Oh, yeah, you're allowed to, yeah, sure.
Like, if I wanted to rent a divvy bike here and ride it home to LaGrange, I could do that?
I'm trying to think of how that would work. You have to return
it. It was pretty far away from the city.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I think you have to return it to a sanctioned divvy bike.
Yeah, you have
bike,
like,
rack.
Yeah, to, like, you have to lock them into those little docks, kind of. So you'd have to return it somewhere. And I think you have to pay by the hour or something.
You
like
do.
That.
Right, not by the mile. So if that guy or girl,
it was
you
a girl.
Saw,
maybe she stole it.
If you were going to steal a bike, that wouldn't be the best one.
No,
steal.
And you got to paint it right away. Right. Where's Earl Scheib when you need him?
Well, they have your credit card on file, too, so
yeah.
They'll
just
charge you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if somebody already rented it,
sure,
and left it
possible.
Unattended.
Right.
You know, because she was pretty far out from the city.
Was she really?
Area,
yeah.
And she was riding a divvy bike down the street. It was still technically Chicago, but it was very far from the city.
I don't know that those bikes are built for distance or speed. I think those are just built for convenience, you know? Like, if I was going to purchase a bike, and I've never ridden a divvy bike, so it's not fair of me to say, but I've seen people riding them. They don't look that comfortable. They look the color is, you know, just very light blue. If you like light blue.
It's Chicago colors.
Is that the official color of Chicago?
Yeah, the blue, the red, the white.
Oh, that's American.
Or red, white, and blue, as
right.
People would say
right.
It. Some people, normally.
Some people would say that's, yeah, right. Right. I didn't know that those were our city's colors, though. I thought that was just...
yeah, you remember the Chicago flag? It's light blue with the red stars and the white background.
Yeah,
it's light blue, too.
So in other cities, those are whatever color your city's colors are. Is that what the Divvy program goes with?
Do they have Divvy elsewhere?
They do, but they call them other things. Yeah, that's what they're called, Divvy bikes. They're called other things, though. I don't think it's called Divvy in other cities.
I thought Mayor Daley was the one to really get this thing going, based on European cities.
Oh, is that why? Is that why he did that?
I don't know. Sometimes I get my news stories mixed up. Maybe you do, too. Ted, are Canadians polite? Because Bill is telling me Canadians are very polite.
Well, I think you're probably right, but you see what happens when you put a hockey stick in their hand.
Oh, then they change in a second. They're not polite at all on the ice.
Yeah, it's a whole lot different. And if they had that bike program up there, who knows what that would be called?
True.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Ted. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks,
guys. Right, take care.
Thanks for telling us about this.
Yes, yes. We must take a quick break. A lot on today's show, including, is this possible? Priscilla Presley.
It's possible and it's happening. You'll have to join us on the stream for that. So right around noon 05, we will be talking to the one, the only, Mrs. Elvis Presley.
Yeah, yeah. All right. More on that and other things next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We were just talking about divvy bikes and the colors they come in. It turns out, this according to a couple of texters, the bikes are the color of whoever sponsors them in that given city. Here in Chicago, they're that shade of blue because Blue Cross Blue Shield is the sponsor. In Los Angeles, they're green because Cricket sponsors them. So depending on where you are,
Jiminy
color,
Cricket?
Not Jiminy Cricket, the cell phone company, the Cricket.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting
to
know.
Yeah.
I never heard Canadians were so polite.
They're very polite people.
Did you make that up today?
No. This has been going on for centuries.
All right. Well, Peter, can you help me with this one?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I love your show.
Thank you.
In the 90s, real quick, I was at a bar, and what happened was I was out to leave, and I noticed I lost my wallet, and the bartender made that note. And what happened was everybody in the bar collected a couple $100 from your collections. I thought that was really nice.
What?
See what I mean? That's how they
that's
are.
Super that's super nice.
It was so nice. I thought they were just going to pay my bill, but by the time I left, you know, it was at least $100, not more. I don't remember the exact amount, but I thought that was really nice.
That's so nice. Good for you. Wow.
Yay, Canadians.
Hey, I just want to share that with you. Have a great day.
Thank you,
you
so much, Peter.
You know, this nicety that I'm hearing about, I think there's going to be a big shift after the solar eclipse happens on Monday.
You do?
I've been hearing reports all over the internet and on news stations and various outlets that if you are in an area where it's complete totality, which is going to be Carbondale, that you're moved sometimes to tears.
People will cry during the eclipse? Why would they cry?
We've got Lucianne Walkowitz, Adler astronomer, coming on a little bit later in today's show.
Don't make me cry in front of her, Wendy, please. I don't want her to know how vulnerable I am.
Women like men who cry.
I will cry.
But just a little tear here and there?
I'm going to go in the other room and watch Brian's Song for a minute and then come in and say I'm crying because of the eclipse.
That's your fluffer movie?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And Steve Grzanich, I'll bet you $5 he will cry.
You think he will?
It's pretty cool when you think about it because the sun is a different size as the moon, but the way they are in proximity and all the miles away. Yeah, but they're lining up perfectly. Yeah. Really? I mean, they're different sizes. So imagine it has to be a certain amount of miles away in order for the moon to cover the sun completely. But it's like it was all created for us.
But then
creationism.
Every time he saw those Russian dolls where one's a little smaller than the other.
Oh, that does make him cry.
Oh, it does? Oh.
It's amazing how they fit together like that. I've seen him cry in the newsroom with
those
nesting dolls.
Sometimes during the 7 o'clock news, we tie his shoelaces together, and he cries every time.
But that should make a guy cry.
But I've heard, I mean, really, numerous reports.
But you think people get emotional because of
it's not what I think. It's what I've heard people say. Hmm. And maybe this lunar eclipse will change the world for the better.
Mm.
Maybe people will realize, you know what?
Mm.
I don't know what, but I'm going to be nicer to people.
That is completely unlikely.
I don't think so either.
Come on.
And even if it did, it would only happen during the eclipse, which is only going to last a minute and a half.
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah, and only part a sliver of the world.
Right.
It all comes back to Jiminy Cricket again. You got to have hope. Wasn't that his song? Miles and miles and miles of hope.
I don't think Jiminy Cricket sang that.
You sang something about hope.
Let your conscience be your guide.
Oh, that's not
hope. He sang
that.
No. No, he didn't sing that.
All right. I think people are going to cry and be moved to tears. Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking at that eclipse and be crying when they found out they're using those counterfeit sunglasses.
Right. When their retinas burn out of their heads, they'll cry.
It does cause your tear ducts to go crazy.
Right.
Exactly right. And just on a note on about the changing of things, we just recently put on one of our billboards, let's put the kind back in humankind.
Oh, that's very nice.
All right, what billboard?
Very nice.
You've piqued my curiosity. I can't think of anything else to tell me what billboard.
Well, you wouldn't see. I'm in a different town. I own a small carpet cleaning company, and I just put that up on one of my billboards just as a message.
That's
for everybody.
Beautiful.
As you go out during the day, just be a little bit kinder to everybody, and maybe we can get that back into humankind.
I would like that to happen.
I hope your billboards work, because we need
too.
It.
All right, you guys enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gary.
You as well. Thank you so much for calling, Gary. It was a pleasure to speak to you on Being Kind.
People are going to think you're Canadian. They're going to listen to the show and go, I didn't realize Wendy was from Manitoba. Now, are you seeing, I've pointed out to you a couple of times, is that another guy with a Toronto Blue? No, that is not a Blue Jays one. But I can't tell you, I don't remember a time ever that I've seen this many people from another city in town. I mean, I know what happens because the Cubs do it all the time. If the Cubs are playing somewhere, their fans are there too. But I've seen so many Blue Jays people today.
I saw two.
Well, we just got here. Like my walk in today.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere I went, there were people with Toronto Blue Jays stuff on.
Well, be kind.
Being polite. I was, and they were. Everybody was.
Good to know.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. A bunch of texts have come in. It's Bill and Wendy, by the way. Hello. 312-981. Hello, Wendy. Nice to see you. 312-981-7200. If you're a Canadian, dial politely. Several people commenting on what I said, that I, in my findings, in my dealings with people from the North, from Canada, they have always been incredibly polite. Like I've never seen anything like it before. Sue from Glenview says, Japan and Canada both have the most polite people that I have ever encountered.
I thought we were polite here in Chicago.
Mostly, but Canadians go out of their way to be polite.
Why is that?
I don't know why.
It's cold there. They need a blanket.
And they stick a shiv in your back when you turn around.
They would, but if they did, they would warn you. They'd say, "Just so you know, I'm going to stick a shiv in your back, so don't turn around too quickly."
And then they'd apologize afterwards.
Sorry, I had to do that. Sometimes I lose my temper. When I lived in Canada, this is from 847. When I lived in Canada, we rented a lovely new home. My children used blue dye to decorate themselves. This was at a time, Wendy, when kids liked to pretend they were in Blue Man Group. Remember that? That was very fashionable for a while.
Boy, marshmallows were hard to find.
Right. I called the landlord, bawling over the situation with the blue carpet. The owner just let me cry and then finally said, "Don't worry, sweetheart. Just use a product, and if it doesn't work, well, it doesn't work." That says it all about the people of Canada. Try your best, and if it doesn't happen, we can live with that. And then they give you a hug. Let's hug it out. They're so polite.
I can't stop thinking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry. I can't.
Why?
Because it just is not looking good for him remaining the president of the United States.
A lot
of people, including close allies, are bailing, and I feel like one wheel has fallen off, and I just can't stop thinking about that. There are a lot of people who know him and have dealt with him who think he's going to resign. I'd like to think he would resign before he would get impeached or something like that, because no one's giving him a chance to do what he wants, thankfully. So I could see him just saying, you know, "My hands are tied. I can't do anything. I quit."
You know, in the last couple of...
What do you mean no one's giving him a chance to do what he wants?
Well, he's his health care, all these things. I'm not saying correctly. I'm just saying he's going to feel like, "I try to get work done, and no one's allowing me to do my job."
Oh,
so I'm out of here.
I gave him my best. You people don't want to work with me like that?
Yes. I really have that feeling, and I can't stop thinking about it, quite honestly.
Well, all right. So what you've seen now in the last couple of days is leading Republicans sometimes using his name and sometimes not using his name, but making it obvious so that we know who they're talking about, alluding to the fact that something needs to be done. But Steve, where do they take it from there? Well, let's say every top Republican is on board with this. And Mitch McConnell was really kind of candid yesterday, I thought, in his comments. But let's say every one of the top people, with the exception of Donald Trump, agrees it's not in the best interest of the country right now. What do they do with that?
Well, you know, there have been times in the past when leaders of president's own party, I'm thinking of Richard Nixon, went to the White House and said, "Look, you're about to lose the country. This is becoming derailed, and it's got to stop."
Yeah.
But short of that, I mean, you know, the president was the president. He won the election, and we have
came in second place, but they gave it to him anyway.
He won. You know, he by the law of the land, he won the election. And we make it difficult to remove someone who wins the election, you know, because it should be difficult.
Right. I agree with that.
And so for there to, you know, first of all, you would have to come up with some sort of argument for impeachment if you're going to impeach him in the House.
But if you wanted to make that argument right now.
Can you say, go ahead, Bill.
You would use up a whole forest's worth of trees with your documentation of that argument.
Not really? I mean, you could make up a forest full of trees of bad behavior. Or,
right,
or
but
maybe
nothing
you might argue incompetent illegal behavior, but I don't know if it's removable.
But that's what I just feel like, you know, he's the type of person when his counsel all defected on him, he's like, "Well, I've just disbanded the council." You
right.
know, he wants to
take the ball and go home.
Yes. Yeah. So I just feel like he's going to just take his ball and go home.
There's another method, apparently, where if the majority of the cabinet would move to act against him, that I heard not too long ago. But I have to look more about that because I really, frankly, didn't know much about that. But you know, we elected him. He's our, you know, the voters spoke, and so for them to unspeak, it has to be a very difficult task for him to be removed.
There's no lemon law like there is with a car. You know, if you buy a car,
this would be an orange law, by the way.
Right.
No.
You buy a car and then you drive it off the lot and it's making a crazy noise and smoke is coming out of the engine. You bring it back and you go, I want to invoke the lemon law. You sold me a piece of junk car. There's an aversion to that with the
president.
You
had Bob Corker yesterday, the senator from Tennessee, who was vetted as a vice presidential candidate or secretary of state with the Trump campaign, and basically said he was worried about his stability. He used the word stability.
Right.
He didn't come out saying, you know, he said he wonders about his stability and things like that. So, you know, that's a we'll see if more and more people do that. You know, I mean, the Speaker of the House of Representatives will tweet out statements against hatred and bigotry, but he won't tie them to the president yet. You know, we'll see.
But isn't it obvious? Can't we tie it? Can't we fill in the blanks?
Well, yeah, but there, I mean, sure, but it's more direct if you use the name. I mean, you know, if
right, I understand what
you're
saying.
If you do something that I think is abhorrent, and I say, you know, I don't like it when people do that, but don't mention you. You know, that's kind of letting you off the hook still. So we'll see if that changes.
And some financial backers I heard this morning have pulled out. So now it's hitting him in the pocketbook now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Rupert Murdoch's son wrote a pretty scathing note.
Jamie Dimon.
Mitt Romney wrote a Facebook message today. I don't think that will be all that harmful to him. I mean, yeah. Mitt Romney's done all he can to stop him before.
Right. Yeah.
And it didn't work. You know, for me personally, there have been many things that have happened that have just been absolutely unusual or hard to understand. Other things are not so hard because it's the way he's behaved. He's behaving the way he did when he campaigned and we elected him. But the thing yesterday, just minutes after the Barcelona attack and he tweeted U.S. support for him, then to tweet that General Pershing thing again.
Which is a lie.
Which didn't happen by any account. And it just was a bizarre thing because he'd used it before, but it was discredited. And from just to sort of unsolicited throw that out again, it's hard to understand how that could have been in his mind to do, how he thought that might have been a good thing to say.
And General Pershing thing allegedly dipped bullets in pig's blood.
Yeah, he was in the Philippines. He was putting down an uprising of terrorists there with Muslims. And so the story that the president tells is that Pershing dipped 50 bullets in pig's blood and then shot 49 of the 50 terrorists and sent the 50th home to say, look, tell your friends what we did. He said then there wasn't a terror attack again for 25 years.
And that's been proven to be a fallacy, that story.
There's been no proof that it ever happened, no.
And somebody, I read somewhere that, you know, yeah, we knew he was doing it on the campaign trail, but it's a nice story, so we let it go.
That was Corey Lewandowski,
yes.
Who was his campaign manager. But again, it's one thing, you know, and Ronald Reagan used to tell sort of stories about, you know, that weren't altogether based in truth, but he was telling them to convey a message or a truth. The timing of this, why he would tweet that yesterday, you know, in the hour or two after the attack, it just doesn't...
The timing is it's crazy on its own, but the timing makes it crazier.
It doesn't seem like a rational thing.
Right.
An easily explained thing.
Let's talk to Katie. She has called us at 312-981-7200. Hi, Katie.
Yes. Hi, good morning. You know, I love you guys very much, but I have to be honest with you. I live in Rockford. And I've been a Democrat all my life, and I voted for Donald Trump because I think the Clintons have been crickets since Arkansas. And what people don't, your station, all you people do from morning to night is bum rap Trump. It's like the guy said, if he cured cancer, they would say, well, he caused it, he should. What irritates me is you have one of the guys in the morning that calls the president a wackadoodle. You know, I'd never liked George Bush. But I would never, you show respect to the office, whether you like that person or not.
Were you scared of what would happen to this country under George Bush? Under George Bush.
Yeah, took us to war on a lie to impress his daddy, yes. But I would never call in and call him that. But what you people don't understand is 80% of the people still working in the State Department not only voted but donated Boku bucks to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, I never heard your station, anybody, talk about that she gave 20% of the uranium to the Russians. That's
not true. That's not true.
Katie, I have to ask you one question. When you voted for Donald Trump because you didn't like Hillary Clinton, I'd rather hear you say, I voted for Donald Trump because of this, and say good things about Donald Trump, not just that you... What? Name some good things.
I'm going to say that next, because he is a businessman. First of all, I think for so many years we should have had a wall. This is a country of laws. You know, I can't say, hey, I don't like that stop sign. I don't like that law. I have to stop. Everybody has to stop. Everybody has to pay taxes. You don't pick and choose the laws. And I've done fundraising all my life, and I'm old now. I'm 75, but I used to go and help these elderly people who worked. They were born in this country and worked, and they have to cut their heart pills in half, and they have to do stuff. And then these people come in, these anchor babies. I am so against that. I don't think it's right. All they have 3, 4, 5 kids by 3, 4, 5 different guys, and it just keeps coming. And I see people that have worked. I helped a lady not lose her house to the state of Illinois. It irritates me.
What do you
me.
Feel about Donald Trump's statements about, I think I know the answer to this question, but do you support his statements about what happened in Charlottesville?
I made my mind up before that. They were both, my heart goes out to the girl that was there and her parents. However, I told the guy when I called in, I don't approve of the Ku Klux Klan. I believe that everybody has a right to their own thoughts. But they got a legal permit to be in that park for 2 hours. And if the other people wouldn't have come and tried to demonstrate, come with masks, I said in the first beginning, they're both equally wrong. There's nobody should have ever in a car. That guy is nuts to think you can get in a car, just like over in Spain, and go around taking someone else's life. I believe in live and let live. And if anybody thinks that if Trump should have said it 3 days earlier, do you actually believe that if he said, now this is wrong, do you think he's going to change anybody's heart or mind? You're not
yes.
going to change a Ku Klux Klan? Oh, no.
Well, not the KKK or white nationalists, but... His supporters, he may.
Other people's mind, no. The people that came there, the blacks, like, I'm getting tired of hearing Black Lives Matter. You know what? Every life matters. Every child born in this country, I don't care if you're white, Japanese, Oriental, black, white, American, Native American, Indians, I have volunteered for them and done fundraising. It's, every life is precious. And I, you know.
And they should all matter the same.
Amen. Yes,
Katie,
that's right.
Can I ask a quick question?
If you think that if Trump would have come out in the very first thing and said, this isn't right, that isn't right. First of all, I make a comment. I don't care what he says. I want him to handle North Korea. I want him to do important things, get that wall. It is a fact that Obama knew about the Russians trying to interfere in our election in 2014. Do you think nobody keeps talking about Hillary and all her emails and how she whitewashed and bleached and everything, got away with stuff?
What could she have possibly put in any of those emails that's worse than what Donald Trump is doing on a daily basis? What? Give me a worst case scenario of what she could have put in an email that's worse.
The Wiener guy had access to that. So you don't have a server in the basement of your house where you're cleaning lady and we're Wiener and all that. No, I don't know. I honest to God think if people would quit criticizing him and give the man a chance.
We shouldn't criticize him, really?
I gave him a chance, and he's let me down tremendously. And, Katie, we're not being rude. We honor your opinion, and we're glad that
you know what? I volunteered, and I voted for Obama. I did fundraising for him and everything, and I really liked him. Like I said, I was born a Democrat.
Yeah.
I am not anymore. Nope.
Well, we thank you for calling. We have to take a break, though.
God bless you guys. Have a good day.
God bless you, Katie.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
Can I just tell you, political radio has turned into like sports radio. You just hear something somewhere, and you just regurgitate it. That's really all it is. All we need now are crazy nicknames.
Bill, she's the one who brought it up.
You did say, I can't stop thinking about Trump.
I can't stop
I wanted
thinking
a Trump
about
free
it.
Friday.
I can't
I was
stop thinking
so badly
about it
for a
because
Trump free Friday.
You know what? I mean, the wheels are coming off. I mean, people. I will.
But as you
it's
said,
my fault.
All this will change during the eclipse.
That's what I'm hoping. That's why I'm bringing this up now to show you how it'll get so much better after 1:19 on Monday.
All right. We have plenty of calls, some happy, some sad. Every emotion is represented on the phone line. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls next. It's Bill and Woody on WGN. All right, let me quickly catch you up. On a day, I just wanted to talk about Jay Cutler and how average he did.
Did you watch?
I read the box scores.
I said I can't stop thinking about Donald Trump. Right. I just feel like the wheels of the presidency are really coming off.
Yeah.
And people wanted to comment about it. And Jim wants to comment. It looks like you're going to be our last call because we're kind of out of time. So go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Without saying who I am, I'm a political psychologist. I'm an expert.
Yeah.
This president is successfully impeached. This country will burn. You're treading on very, very dangerous ground.
Take us through the process of what, how and why. Just because so many people would be so upset that he achieved the office of presidency and then he was removed.
What if he quits? What if he resigns? Because that's what I see happening.
The people who elected him understand the problem is in Washington, and they look upon this man as someone who came in to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they successfully stop him from stopping them, therein lies the problem. Very dangerous situation. That's all I want to say.
And do you mean, when you say the country will burn, you mean it literally, don't you? You mean that there will be hell to pay?
We'll be starting the next civil war, in my professional opinion. And that's all I'm saying.
He's an expert, Steve.
Wait a minute. Okay, stop. You stipulated that you are an analyst and an expert, and then you said some pretty amazing things. So what is your expertise?
I'm not going to compromise who I am or my position. So that's all I'm telling you. It's a very dangerous place where you're at.
It wouldn't compromise your position if you said you were a psychologist or something. That doesn't compromise.
You don't have to be specific, just general.
I'm being as general as I'm going to
be. Did you say you were a political psychiatrist?
Psychologist.
Psychologist? Click. Okay.
All right.
Need to get a better phone. You are not a phone expert.
No.
I don't know what to tell you, but I can't stop thinking about it.
Seriously.
Stop saying it.
There is. I know. We were just going to talk about Jay Cutler.
Such a nice day.
I'm done now. It's out of my system. If I would have held it inside, it would have gotten worse later.
You're
going
to offend the polite people of Toronto who are in town to watch the Blue
really
Jays and the Cubs clash.
I crap about the Canadians
All right.
in town.
Oh, Wendy. That's not nice. All right. So to some extent, the last caller makes a good point. I don't think the country will burn, but there will be plenty of people who are just so furious over the fact that he was elected and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, a few months later, removed.
He's made a great, he's done very well at, you know, the whole fake media thing and creating this idea that the world is out to get him.
Yeah.
You know, and there are many who are, but not that he's responsible for any of the things
right.
that he has done.
Right.
And instead
right,
he's saying
not owning up to some of the mistakes he's made.
Right. So if for some reason he is removed or something happens, I think there's
something to that.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's so hard. Steve, Wendy and I were talking about this off air the other day. With all these scandals or would-be scandals, they tend to bounce off of him. But once you don't renounce Nazis and white supremacists,
look,
that one's hard to rebound off of.
Really? You just took two calls.
Yeah.
And that didn't mean anything to either of those two people.
That's two calls. You know, when people call when they're irritated by something, they don't call
to
say
agree.
Yes.
Right. All right, let's do this. We'll
Can't
take a quick break. Don't say that. That's how it starts. Priscilla Presley's going to be on.
Well, she will give us hope.
All right.
I wish Elvis was our president.
Elvis, well, he can't.
Yeah, I know.
You know this. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. Our number is 312-981-7200. Kurt, Wendy mentioned a little while ago.
I can't stop thinking about Kurt Wagner.
She can't stop thinking about Kurt Wagner and Trump. Now, here's the question I pose to you. Each of your three primetime late-night hosts, the Jimmys, Kimmel and Fallon, mm-hmm. and Stephen Colbert, have kind of broken character a little bit and said to the audience in the past couple of days, hey, it's our job to make fun of what goes on politically, but there's a lot going on right now. They have really been very, very candid and serious about the situation politically. I don't remember that ever happening to this extent, do you?
Well, Jimmy Fallon tries to keep his show so,
non-political.
Yeah. And the other day, he just started the show with no monologue. I mean,
right.
his monologue was basically talking about Charlottesville.
Which,
yeah.
you know, he did such a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, certainly after September 11th, eventually, when shows went back into production, David Letterman being the first, that Saturday Night Live, they took a few moments to recognize the situation and they addressed it. But I don't remember a situation like I saw this week where all the I just mentioned your three that happened at 10:30, but then the other people, Corden and Seth Meyers and everybody else, they've also made mention of the fact that it's something that it's our job to make fun of, but we're in kind of deep, and I just don't remember ever seeing it like this.
I don't either. And
see why I can't stop thinking about
That's why Wendy can't stop thinking about it.
And they're right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's a whole...
Yeah.
Let's talk television.
Another that's a whole different discussion.
I love Big Brother.
Although, hey, did you watch the Weekend Update last night, the primetime Weekend Update?
I only saw a couple of clips from it with Tina Fey making an appearance.
Yeah. Sheet cakes are fun.
Sheet caking, that's a whole new thing, which I had never heard of before.
Nor did I.
You mean you haven't ever sheet caked?
No.
No, neither have I.
It's a fun half hour.
I've pizzaed.
Yeah, I've pizzaed.
So for people who don't know what this is, you're kind of drowning your sorrows in a certain kind of food,
in
right?
In a sheet cake. She said, get a sheet cake with an American flag on it and dig in and yell at the sheet cake if you're mad at something instead of yelling at other people.
She's really funny.
Yeah.
And she is a graduate of the University of Virginia. That's why we brought her on. Yes.
Yeah.
Had a little sweatshirt on.
So this new SNL version, and I shouldn't say new because they've done it in the past, they do Weekend Update for half an hour on Thursdays, so it's an elongated version of Weekend Update,
right.
And they always bring back alumni from SNL, and they sit in, and it's been, I've seen most of the last two episodes, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, I think they've been pretty good, and last night Tina Fey was on, and then Fallon came on as George Washington,
mm-hmm.
and Seth Meyers came on as Thomas Jefferson, and they had a good... Well, Fallon was sort of by himself for a while as George Washington, you know, and then they both came on together.
Yeah.
And it was sort of talking about the difference between them and Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
But that was also funny. It's always fun to see when they all come back. You know, they all live in New York. They're all in New York, so it's easy for that to happen, but... it's fun. It's fun when they do.
So the shows, to some extent, they've been very candid about the situation, but I think they're doing well because people are tuning in on a nightly basis to those shows and The Daily Show. I mean, you name the show that lampoons this, John Oliver's show on HBO. This is good for business in a weird kind of way, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It totally is. I mean, Stephen Colbert was third in that hour until... Mm-hmm. The election, or leading up to the election. And then, you know, he surged. And now he's gotten just tons of, because that's what he was doing on his old show.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him back to what he was great at. And so, people respond to it.
So if you're strategizing what you want to do with your late night talk show, and you realize that right now it's a good time to mention politics and lampoon what's going on politically, that can't hurt.
No.
Right? That can only help you.
No. Yeah. As long as it's funny. As
yeah,
long as you're
right.
You're on top of your game.
I don't remember, like, I mentioned John Oliver's show on HBO. I don't want to leave out Samantha Bee's show, which is really good. We mentioned The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. They really all take a similar approach to it. They all put their own kind of branding on it. But every one of those shows, Bill Maher's show on HBO does a great job of, you know, covering the daily or not weekly events. They all do a very good job. It's informative. It's funny when it needs to be, very cutting. It does everything it needs to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good comedy.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Kurt Wagner's here. We'll talk about everything else going on in the world of TV. His website, tvshowpatrol.com, is right there on your computer. You should look at it. I think you'll like it. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here. He has a website called tvshowpatrol.com that talks about all your favorite TV shows and some you don't like. What about the Three Stooges coming back in some way? Not the original Three Stooges, but a new version of the Three
that
Stooges.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
Yes. There's going to be a Hindi language Three Stooges.
Oh, a Hindi language Three Stooges.
Yeah. For all of our friends in India, get ready for...
How do you say nyuk? Nyuk, nyuk in Hindi.
I think it might be the same. The show will be called Three Stooges Bol To Hungama Ho Gaya.
That should have been the title here, too.
Yes, and it means, when you say the Three Stooges, you mean a laugh riot.
That's what that title means?
Yes.
Except if you're Bill.
Right.
He doesn't like them.
It's lost on me.
I think they're funny. Watched them the other night.
They couldn't have the Three Stooges in Canada, Wendy. You know why? They're too polite.
Guys wouldn't hit each other in Canada.
I won't pick two. No, I refuse to. So when will this happen and why?
It's happening.
It already is?
I think so, yeah. They're developing it. And then the other part of that news is that someone is developing a family feature film called The Three Little Stooges. Oh, God. And then also in the works is a follow-up to the 2012 The Three Stooges movie with Sean Hayes, Chris Diamantopoulos, and Will Sasso reprising the roles of Larry, Moe, and Carly.
They were fairly good at it, I gotta admit.
The new version of it was good?
The movie?
But do you want to see a young version, like this young Three Stooges movie? Kind of. The Little Stooges, you want to see
The Three Little Stooges?
There's a young Sheldon. We want to see why the Three Stooges are the way they are.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
No Shemp, though.
No. No. Isn't that sad?
And Curly Joe,
no Curly
forget
Joe.
It.
We'll learn how they learn how to slap each other.
Wow. All right. What about this? The Defenders. Now, there was a TV show called The Defenders back in the
60s.
Oh, yeah. But it's not them, is it?
No. This was I actually have some old DVDs of The Defenders, the original Defenders. This is the Marvel, from the Marvel Comics universe. So it's all their four New York-based superheroes.
Oh, they're like they're not the Avengers, but they're like if the Avengers are busy, they send these guys.
Right. And Netflix already has separate series of Daredevil, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones.
Jenny Jones.
And Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And so they've had a season or two of each of those, and now the Defenders finds all four of them who live in New York teaming up. And they're fighting Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver as a character, or Sigourney Weaver, like they just don't like Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, as a character.
Oh, all right.
She plays the big bad in this season.
Oh, all right. Here's a question.
And I haven't gotten that far, but she's supposed to be really good. I mean, I've seen her.
She's good
in the first. I know. I love her. Like, I was doing a list of my favorite movies, and I think like half of that list had Sigourney Weaver in them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. All right, here's a question. Why, and I've asked you other questions, but this is the one I'm asking currently. why is it sometimes, if you look at the history of television, there have been a whole lot of Westerns on, or other times there's a whole lot of variety shows, or sometimes there's a whole lot of sitcoms. Right now, there's a lot of superhero shows. Why?
And there's even more this fall. I think it's...
Because it's working at the box office?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is because it's working. And... part of it is because Marvel has a lot of money to throw around. And part of it, I think, is, you know, especially these Netflix versions of these, they really do have, they make a social statement. It's not just, you know, sort of the old time Batman show or the old Superman. You know, there's a lot.
Fries are done.
Your answer was correct. Sure.
There's a lot happening. There's a lot happening in these shows. So it has a social message, and we need a hero. We need heroes.
Don't you also think that it's easy now because of special effects? You can make it look like a guy or a girl is flying or helping a train not fall off the tracks.
Right.
You can just.
It's easier to do that.
Yeah. Right. Do you think?
That's true too. Yeah.
But people are watching it.
People are definitely watching.
I am shocked at how many.
Iron Fist was not that great.
Yeah,
that was probably the worst of the four those four that have been on there, and I think it still did pretty well.
And that's a character that, for people who don't know comics, is like a minor character. Iron Fist is like no big deal.
Does he have an Iron Fist?
Yeah, he's got an Iron Fist. He rules with it.
It's a mystical Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It's just a really nice mitten.
Like an oven glove?
Yeah, an oven
mitten. The Hamburger Helper guy is on his hand?
It's a kitten mitten.
Yep. So you would think that would survive as a television show, but somehow it has. All right, whatever. Reunion Road Trip.
Oh, by the way, The Defender started today.
Oh, it's already on?
Yeah, it just dropped today.
People can watch it today.
They can stream it.
Here's the title. It's called Reunion Road Trip, Return to the Jersey Shore. These aren't the same people that were on Jersey Shore a couple years ago,
are they?
Yes, they are.
This show, Reunion Road Trip, brings together the actors or characters or,
whom Kevin loves,
or real people.
Kevin,
from
our producer's a big fan,
shows from the past. And I can't remember what other shows that they've done this season, but this one I made special note of just because it's Snooki J. Wow and Pauly D and The Situation and Sam Sweetheart all getting together again.
I think I just threw up in my mouth. Kevin, you like these people?
There we go. It's like a train wreck, you know? You can't help but look.
Yes, you can.
You watch Big Brother. It's the same thing.
It isn't really.
Well, it kind of is.
Well, I guess it's a reality show, but.
But was the public just yearning for more of these people?
Like, Kevin was.
I know Kevin was, but Kevin's not the public. He's the private. He just sits in a room by himself all day. Like, for the rest of us, was America saying, boy, do I miss Snooki?
People are intrigued as to what happened to somebody.
Yeah, I think they're intrigued by about where they went and
where are they now?
The plans they discussed on the show in the drunken stupor, how have those fleshed out or not?
I'm sure they're excited to be getting paid again, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And, I have a couple of friends, I think two friends, who I sent when I found out the date of this and I sent them a message about this. They were elated, ecstatic.
They were happy to find out that
they said, I'm putting it in my calendar right now.
Wow. I'm shocked by this. This is a story that just broke just before we had you on, just before we brought you in. But apparently one of the actors who's currently on Twin Peaks is now has now been arrested for an attempted second degree murder. This is awful. Is this a character that I've not seen.
He has
a
very small role.
Jeremy Lindholm is his name.
Yeah.
I had to look him up.
He plays Mickey on Twin Peaks.
Which is just kind of a small character in a certain area. I don't want to give anything away.
Not one of the leads.
Although I could give stuff away and you still wouldn't get it.
No.
But I'm loving the Twin Peaks, and all the star-studded cameos in here are amazing.
Harry Dean
Except
Stanton.
For Jim Belushi. He's not doing that great of a job, I got to tell you.
Oh, Jim Belushi's on it, too? Mm-hmm. I haven't been keeping up.
Mm-hmm. And then one more really quickly. It's a show on Netflix called What Happened to Monday. It's premiering this week. What do we need to know about
this? Oh, this is a movie. It's a standalone movie. But I saw the trailer to it, and it just looks fantastic.
It's like futuristic,
an action.
Right?
It's a futuristic thing. And what happened is... it's in a future world where you're only allowed to have one kid, I think, is the deal. And some man has seven daughters.
Oh, no.
Like, what would that be?
Breaking the rules.
Not sextuplets, that's six.
Septuplets.
Yes. Septuplets. I think it's seven. And six. It's six, so it's...
Sextuplets.
Yeah.
You have to have sex to have tuplets.
So...
I hope kids are listening so that they can write that down so they'll know that.
What he does so that the kids aren't taken away, like five of them aren't taken away, he basically hides them and names them after days of the week.
Uh-huh.
So that sounds really good.
And then, so Monday can only go outside on Monday.
Oh.
And they all look exactly the same. So Tuesday can only go outside on Tuesday, etc. And all through their growing up, He keeps it secret that
he
has
six. So people think
he
only has one.
He
thinks he only has one. And so they all basically live the same life outside the house.
That's pretty cool.
And then one day, Monday doesn't come home.
Oh.
And I don't know if
Mondays are the worst day of the week.
So one Monday, she doesn't come home. And so then they're all trying to figure out and get her, but...
Yeah.
You know,
at first, it's like, we can't go outside because she's still out there somewhere. And
you've sold me. Now I'm going to watch it.
It looks... I've only seen the trailer because they didn't have it in the screening room, but
is Snooki
looks
in it?
So good. No.
She's
no
not
Snooki.
In it. All right.
Okay, and where and when
is this? Oh, you know
who's
in it? Naomi Rapace.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah. She was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original.
In the foreign version.
Yeah.
Right.
What's this called again?
Whatever Happened... What Happened to Monday? And like it's out today on the Netflix.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. That's Kurt Wagner. His website is tvshowpatrol.com, your one-stop shopping headquarters for all things TV related. We'll take a quick break. Thanks, Kurt. Find out what's in the news next. Nothing I can say. A total eclipse of the heart. Look at me getting all weepy.
You're because you love this song. I'm getting weepy because there's going to be a solar eclipse, which... Bonnie Tyler is thanking the gods above that this solar eclipse happened because... This is an eclipse of the heart. This isn't of the moon.
Well,
sun.
No, I know. But she could change the. She could work with Weird Al Yankovic and get the lyrics changed by Monday.
She better hurry because she is going to be performing, and this is where I start geeking out. This is going to be the pre-eclipse weekend, and Lucianne Walkowitz, astrophysicist at the Adler Planetarium, and so much more. This is something to be excited about.
Yeah, I am thrilled. I am just
Ask Bill
so
if
incredibly
he's excited.
Excited. Bill, are you excited?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
I'm not as excited as everybody else is, and I don't know why. I understand it's a very rare thing, but I don't know why. It's just it's daytime and it'll get dark, but it did that yesterday too for a little while. There was some cloud passing over, and it got dark in the daytime. Why aren't I as excited as I should be?
I don't know. I don't know why this like wonderful alignment of two celestial bodies from the point of view of the Earth that hasn't occurred since 1979 over mainland United States would not be exciting to you.
I guess it is kind of.
Oh,
but
now it's kind of.
But Wendy has this
Don't
theory.
Listen to him. It's incredibly exciting.
Wendy said that people are going to, when this happens,
no,
that people
I have
will
heard
weep.
Reports that if you're in the area of complete totality, which is just outside Carbondale, in a town called...
Well, Carbondale is in totality.
Okay.
So the path of totality goes from...
Is it the county? When you say it's in totality,
totality
what does that mean?
Means that the from that point on the Earth, the sun is totally blocked by the moon.
Oh.
So that's when you get that perfect alignment, and the sun will be totally blocked out by the moon's shadow passing over the Earth.
Yeah.
So that shadow passes over a path that goes from the Pacific Northwest down to the Southeast and happens to stripe right through the bottom of Illinois.
Oh, all right.
This is just so cool. I have heard that people who see this totality have been moved sometimes to tears. It's just an emotional feeling that they have. Have you heard that as well?
I have. I've never actually seen a total solar eclipse. I went in 2012. There's what's called a ring of fire eclipse where the alignment is perfect, but the distance is slightly different. So you get the moon's shadow makes sort of a bright ring of the sun. And that was cool enough, but it's a partial eclipse, so it's not dark when the eclipse happens.
Yeah.
And this is total darkness, right? I mean, aren't animals going to kind of freak out?
Yeah, you know, actually one of the interesting things that you can do during an eclipse is that, you know, a lot of animals use daytime as, you know, their cue to, you know, return to their roost, in the case of birds, for example. So some people will actually be studying animal behavior when the eclipse happens because animals think that it's dusk.
And they'll have to wear special glasses, won't they?
They could burn their retinas if they looked up
at it. It's going to be adorable. All the birds will be wearing tiny glasses.
And that hardly ever happens. So that is kind of amazing.
I don't know that your dog in the yard will look up. I hope Tiki doesn't blind himself. But, I mean, they may look. It's weird. It's going to be weird.
I mean, nobody is telling animals to not look at the sun on a regular basis. So I'm pretty sure that they've got that part figured
out. That's true.
But you know how there's always rumors they say, you know, when it's a full moon, like the word lunatic comes from luna, which is moon. So is there an equivalent of that because of the eclipse? Will we start behaving crazily?
I think if you're in the path of totality, any crazy behavior will be because you're witnessing a totally awesome celestial event.
All right.
Somebody
told you to say that, right? I could tell that was a prepared statement.
It's literally written on my Adler t-shirt that I'm wearing. Totally awesome.
All right.
As far as historically, like people... When we were in a stage of human knowledge where we couldn't actually predict when eclipses were going to happen, you can imagine how incredibly frightening it would be to have suddenly this star that you depend on for all your light and warmth vanish for a little while.
Did you ever hear that there were rumors of guys that were astrologers that would take advantage of people and say that they were wizards and that they could predict things like this? And then all of a sudden it'd be daytime and it would get dark and those guys would make off like bandits because they're like, oh, I was the one who knew this. Nobody else knew that. Did you ever hear stories like that?
I've heard sort of apocryphal stories, but I don't know of a specific historical example of that happening. But, you know, we've been able to predict eclipses by understanding the orbit of the moon, the earth, and the position of the
for
sun
centuries.
For a really long time. Yeah. And so, you know, that I still think that's kind of magical,
that,
even though
see,
it's science.
That impresses me more, that people can calculate that. That impresses me a lot.
So you'll just be satisfied to know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he won't look at it.
No, I refuse.
Somebody has texted, why is this so exciting? I understand where Bill's coming from. It's going to happen again in 7 years, 2024, so no big deal. It's not going to be the same, is it?
No, this is a big deal in particular because it passes over such a large swath of mainland America. So, you know, often the shadow of the moon passes over different parts of the Earth. Eclipses do happen fairly regularly, but most of the Earth is covered with ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's plenty of examples in history of people making actual, like, ocean voyages to go see eclipses. But it's relatively rare that you get an opportunity to see one over so much of the mainland, and that it happens in a time like August when weather tends to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there's going to be another opportunity to see a total solar eclipse in 2024, that will be over just in the southeast. And so this is a much bigger event for most of the U.S. to be able to go and actually see either a partial eclipse from where you are, or if you're going to the path of totality, or that's where you are normally, then you get to see a total solar eclipse.
You're going to the path of totality, and you're leaving to go there. What will we get here in Chicago? About 86, 87% coverage?
Yeah, just about 90% coverage.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Of the sun. So it won't get dark here, but you can use either eclipse glasses or welder's glass to look directly at the eclipse. Don't look at the eclipse, even when it's in partial directly, because the sun is still very bright and we don't want you to hurt yourselves. But the good news is that if you, you know, don't happen to have fancy glasses or
which everybody's freaking about. Cause
yes.
Where glasses are sold out. I should have thought about this.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal. The Adler has now passed out roughly 200,000 eclipse
Seriously?
Glasses.
Just gave them away. Just didn't charge anything. Just here you are.
At various events
the...
over the past
wow.
year. And then we had some in our gift shop, which is now also sold out. However, we have limited supplies for Monday at the Adler's Big Eclipse Festival, which is free. And I encourage everybody to come, because not only will you have the chance to maybe view the eclipse through glasses, but we'll also have our telescopes with special solar filters so that we can block out most of that sunlight and make it viewable for you. And you'll also be able to make the little simple crafts that you can use to project the light of the eclipse.
Can we take a quick break? And then
sure.
Can you explain to people, because I'm telling you, Bill, everybody's been panicking on Facebook and everywhere else. ISO in search of eclipse glasses. Please help me. Where do I get them by Monday? Lucianne Wachowicz from the Adler Planetarium. She's an astrophysicist, you know. She will be explaining how to make your own when we come back. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Well, if Steve Bannon is removed from office, that can only mean one thing. An eclipse is coming, ladies and gentlemen, and on Monday you'll be able to see one, but you have to wear special glasses. Lucianne Wachowicz is here from the Adler Planetarium. You said, I think you meant this, you could make them out of a potato chip if you wanted to. Did you say that?
No, she said something else.
I did. There's a couple different ways to safely view an eclipse. First of all, it's important to not... Even when the sun is in partial eclipse, it's very important to not look at the sun directly, because you could hurt your eyes, you could cause permanent damage, and we don't want that to happen. We want you to have a good, safe, fun time. So there's two different ways, basically, to view an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
One is directly, where you can look actually at the eclipse directly, look at the sun, if you have the proper eye protection.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a variety of ways to look at it indirectly, where you project it onto either the ground or the side of a building or a screen, whatever happens to be around. So if you have eclipse glasses or even some really dark welder's glass, that will work for looking at it directly. But if you haven't been able to get eclipse glasses, the news is really good. It is cheap and super fun to make your own eclipse viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to the Adler on Monday, we'll have supplies and be happy to teach you how to do it. But you can also look up how to make a pinhole camera. So essentially anything, any surface that you have a little tiny hole through acts as a kind of lens that will create an image of the eclipse happening. So what you would do, for example, is you could take a sheet of cardboard and just poke a little hole in it. But there's also other things that you can naturally use. So not a potato chip, but a Ritz cracker.
Oh, Ritz cracker,
so right. You know how Ritz crackers have those little tiny holes in them? Those will actually act as pinhole cameras.
Oh.
And so because there are four, I think there are four holes in a Ritz cracker, you'll get four little images of the sun and eclipse through your cracker.
It even says on the box that they can be delicious snacks or they could be used to view
everything's
the
good. It
does.
It
said that since
Ritz.
The last eclipse in 1979.
Right.
But now, so here's, I guess, my question, because I remember being in school and we had these boxes that you stuck your head in and there was a pinhole and there was aluminum foil and there was a white sheet of paper and you just saw the shadow. Mm-hmm. That must have been the 79 one, or if there was one before that. So do you stand with your back to the sun? Where do you hold the Ritz cracker?
So you can hold it anywhere where the sun will shine through it.
Okay.
And then down onto either, you know, some sort of flat, smooth surface that you want to project it on.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, means that, you know, depending on how you're holding your Ritz cracker,
right?
You're looking away from the sun, though. So
okay.
This is not, don't hold up a cracker
and look through,
and look through it at the sun. That's not a great idea. But you can use it to project the image of the sun. And this happens actually naturally. So if you're anywhere near a tree that has a lot of foliage, sometimes those little gaps between the leaves will create like images of thousands of the eclipse. It's really quite beautiful.
That is so cool. All right. I looked at Adler's website and it said it starts at 11:54. Now that's technically when this cycle happens. When are we going to see it at its most coverage? Is that like 1:19 or something here in Chicago?
It is indeed 1:19. So the shadow of the moon. Yeah, I know.
I am into this.
That was pretty impressive, Lucien. I don't know.
It's almost amazing. As though you're incredibly excited for the eclipse.
A little bit.
So it's something that happens over a couple of hours. So you can start seeing the partial eclipse happening just before noon. But at 1:19, you'll get to the maximum coverage. And from here, that'll be about 90% or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in Carbondale and downstate Illinois, it'll be the path of totality. So you'll see 100% of the sun covered.
Is Adler going to be having it? Are they streaming it? I know NASA is.
Yeah, so we have viewing at the Adler, and then I think we'll be streaming it inside as well if there is any kind of like clouds or anything like that.
Can I look at it directly on my computer screen, or do I have to hold up a Triscuit so that I don't burn my eyes?
It's a
Ritz. You have to eat a cracker while you watch
really?
It.
Really? All right.
On
I'll
the
do
screen.
That. All right. That sounds good.
I know we are running out of time, but Jane has a good question, and people are going to be desperately grabbing things. Jane, quickly, your question.
Can you use glasses that you would use in a tanning bed?
I don't think so. So I don't know enough about tanning bed glasses, but I don't think that they have enough of, I don't think they cut the light enough. So, you know, the sun is very, very bright, which is why if you do have a pair of those eclipse glasses, you will look through them in normal light and not be able
can't
to see
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can use tanning bed glasses.
Do you have a Ritz cracker, Jane?
I would certainly be buying a box.
What about a colander? You mentioned.
Yeah, a pasta colander. Anything with little holes in it will work.
Good luck, Jane.
Thank you.
And remember that you get as many images of the sun as you have holes in the thing. So if you have a pasta colander, you'll get tons and tons of projected eclipses. If you have a Ritz cracker, you'll get four. If you have a pinhole camera or just a little piece of cardboard with that pinhole stuck in it, you'll get one.
I keep hearing the word camera used, but a camera in my head takes pictures, but it's not the same.
Yeah, that's my fault.
No, I've heard other people say camera also.
Well, because it is actually a way you can make a pinhole camera by using the same sort of setup.
Oh.
If you imagine kind of back in the day where you used film, you could imagine putting a piece of film there where
right.
the image was sharp.
Oh,
and then you would
sense.
Be able to expose it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So pinhole cameras were actually used in that way. And you could use it if
you
happen to have some film.
All right.
But you can also just watch it on projected on any smooth surface.
Okay.
One final comment or question. Gary, you saw the eclipse in 79. How'd you feel?
Well, I was overwhelmed because I wasn't expecting it. And I was on the lakefront. down on the south side around 63rd, 65th Street. And all of a sudden, the entire world went dark.
Wow. Surprise. And,
what the hell's going on?
And then this weekend, the Air and Water Show, so people will hear the noises, and then the sun will go down, and they'll think it's the end of days.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
News but, penetration's a little better now.
Real quickly, Gary, go ahead.
It was an eclipse, and I had, as a young boy, you know, stuck my head in the box a number of years before, so I knew not to look at the sun. But the effect on the lake was just phenomenal because everything that was blue just turned black.
That's
all the
wild.
Boats got dark. You couldn't see anything. It was just Twilight Zone, you know?
Well, Gary, I hope you're going to be watching on Monday at 1:19 Chicago time. Lucianne Wachowicz, astrophysicist at the Adler Planetarium. Safe travels. I hope everything goes well in totality for you.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have fun viewing it here.
I know that our segment has ended, but I have to. This is the best text
Sorry,
of the
Bertrand.
Year. This is the best text ever. Would you hurt your eyes if you took a selfie with the sun behind you?
Did you text that in?
No. I just think that's the greatest text ever.
I think you'd have about as much luck taking a selfie of the sun as you would ordinarily.
I think so, too.
It's hard to take pictures of the sun. You need a filter.
That's my
that's what we're
text
late for.
Ever.
You can go to adlerplanetarium.org, correct?
Correct.
Have a happy eclipse day. I'm so excited for everyone. Thank you, Lucianne.
Thank you.
Quick break?
Quick break, then Steve. Stick
Are
around.
Are you taking
Bill
a selfie?
Yeah, yeah. Bye.